RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
It's one of our favorite times of the week. We get a chance to talk to our guy Nick Faribault of Penn Live, covers the Steelers, and he's on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Nick and I were talking a couple of days ago about how I visited New York, Nick, and it was a very thrilling experience. I got to ride the subway. I was safe on the subway. I was a little bit scared of the subway when I first got on it, but ultimately had a great time exploring Manhattan.
It's great, man. I love New York City. I've been there more than a few times. Now, was that your first time there in NYC?
Yeah.
Or one of your
first time in New York?
Yeah, man. It's a great city. One of my favorites. It was interesting to get to the New Jersey side this year, actually, when the Steelers played the Jets. I had never been to that side of it, but in terms of Manhattan, man, I've been there enough times. I've been to Brooklyn. I've been all over that place. One of my favorite cities in the world. It's awesome.
Yeah, I was talking to my sister about it because she's graduating from Penn State this year. So the last 4 years, we've gone to everywhere the football team has played outside of the Fiesta Bowl. So we went to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. We were in California and L.A. for the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. We went to Miami to watch Drew Aller throw a back-breaking interception in the Orange Bowl. And we went to New York in the Pinstripe Bowl. So pretty cool last 4 years of trips and experiences that we try to save our money for to go on big trips and stuff like that, that have been pretty cool. Cool how, where football will take you.
Yeah, man, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, with Pitt, I remember when I was in college, I was able to go to the Peach Bowl Atlanta. I went to the ACC Championship in Charlotte. You know, I went to Virginia Tech, for example. I thought that was really cool, just Lane Stadium and seeing Enter Sandman. You get to see a lot of cool things. I went down to Miami. I went to a lot of different places. Knoxville. That was really cool. Like, just a lot of cool places. The El Paso for the Sun Bowl, right? Like, just so many really cool spots. It's crazy where sports will take you, man. I mean, like, for example, just covering the Steelers this year. Get to go to freaking Ireland. I mean, it's cool, man. It's really cool.
And now it takes you back to Sunday Night Football, which seems to be the worst-kept secret ever. After the Steelers lost that game, that it was easily going to be a Sunday night game. Why do you think that the Steelers have been so poor in prime time outside of that Miami game? The Ravens have also been poor in Sunday night football. I think both teams are like 0-2. It doesn't make sense for the Steelers to usually do very well in those situations. And now they have to play a Ravens team where, you know what, Nick, I think this is a coin flip type of game.
I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that it's at night. I just think they played really good teams. The Chargers on the road, that is a good team. I know that they're a beatable team, but Justin Herbert is still an incredible quarterback. Derwin James is playing like one of the best defenders in football. Khalil Mack is finding the fountain of youth. Like, that's a hard game to play. Green Bay, the Steelers got like the full version of Green Bay for the most part. They had Micah Parsons. Jordan Love was healthy. You know, the Ravens version that they faced, no Jordan Love, no Micah Parsons. It's a little different. They were really banged up front, period. They just faced two really good teams. And then Thursday Night Football in the division, the Steelers never win that game. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's the Browns. They don't win at Cleveland. They don't win at Cincinnati. Thursday Night Football in the division wasn't going to go well. Same thing with the Ravens. I think they had, like, Buffalo in that game on the road. They had a lot of few matchups that were really tough in those spots. So I just think it speaks to the fact that what we are watching is a mid-off, and I think that's a great way to say it, Austin, is these two teams are really just mediocre. They're not great. They are teams that are probably not going to be favored against whoever they face in the first round, and that's kind of what I think you look at it and say, these two teams are just okay football teams. They're not bad. They're not really good.
A mid-off. That's a be careful how you say that, but it's a very 2025-esque word in term to be able to state it, because – look, I thought that they were going to go into Cleveland and, you know, not push them around and dominate. But I was stunned that they lost that game. I thought things were different, Nick. After coming off of the Lions game, you beat the Ravens earlier. You took care of Miami handily. It seemed like they were finally riding some momentum with a quarterback that you trust, with an offense that was playing a lot better than it had in previous years. And then they lay an egg in Cleveland. And I don't think that we should take that as just a burn-the-tape type of game, do you?
I mean, listen, they have one or two of those games every single year. Baltimore does too. I mean, Baltimore got smoked by the Bengals on Thanksgiving. We saw that happen. They've almost lost to the Browns. It just is like, it's clockwork for the Steelers. Listen, they don't win in Cleveland either. I mean, that's just a big thing. It's a tough environment for them. There's something to that place. The fans, they're rabid. The type of ball that they play, I think, brings the Steelers down into the swamp with them. Like, if there's one team that can out-Steelers the Steelers in recent years, it has been Cleveland. That has been an issue for them. And I also do think – I just think at some point the injuries caught up to them. Yeah. I just think you look at the laundry list of them. I mean, you miss three of your top four pass catchers, and I think that's what your offense is going to look like. You know, you DK Metcalf changes not only the passing game but the run game. Calvin Austin III, I think, is the best route runner they have on this team. They missed him. Darnell Washington going out totally changed probably the game plan. And then even defensively, you know, all of the injuries to safety, missing Brandon Echols and James Pierre, who had been two real revelations at corner. I think at some point when you look at it, injuries do catch up. But this is the same old Steelers. It is, to a degree. This is not a great team. You felt like they'd maybe turn the corner, but this team has been here multiple times this year. When you think about the Cincinnati game, the Buffalo game, just the Chargers game, different performances that they have put up throughout the year, very similar to this one in some respects. And so I can't say I'm surprised. I knew this team was still in there, and I knew this type of performance from Aaron Rodgers was still in there, who has also just been a roller coaster, just like the team.
How big of an impact did not having DK Metcalf truly have?
I thought it had a huge impact. Listen, DK Metcalf is a game-changing player in terms of what he does for the Steelers offense. I don't think he's their best player, but I think he's their most indispensable player. They could afford to lose anybody else but this guy offensively. You look at what he does, I mean, he draws double teams. He changes the coverage picture. And because he draws double teams, he often takes two players out of the run game. The Steelers are able to run the ball anyways, but he makes it easier on them. He makes it easier to get explosive plays because that is what he is. He's a walking explosive play. That is his reputation throughout his career. And so missing him in conjunction with Calvin Austin, they lost most of their speed. They lost probably their best route runner, and they lost their best contested catch guy. And so they lose a lot of bests when you put those two together. And DK Metcalf especially changes the schematics a team can run.
The obsession with MVS absolutely infuriated me on that final drive and the plays to Scotty Miller. Tomlin said after the game that those were plays where there were multiple options that Rodgers had to, you know, he could go to different areas. He can go to different options. How much of that do you put on Aaron Rodgers? How much do you put it on Arthur Smith? And just the creative freedom that Rodgers has to be able to make those plays in those moments, because I think that MVS being targeted on, what was it? Was it three consecutive plays? It was at least
three consecutive times.
It just made me irate.
Listen, I mean, I think you have to give the 42-year-old four-time MVP, future Hall of Famer, the credit he deserves for his career, and you should give him that. There have been games they have won this year because of his creative freedom at the line of scrimmage, so I don't want to take that away from Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers has had a tendency over his career to just take the fade route. I mean, it's not just the thing the Steelers are dealing with this year. He did it in New York last year. He did it the last year with Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. Ask any Packers fan. He would just throw it up. The issue is, oftentimes he'd be throwing that ball to Devontae Adams, to Jordy Nelson. Even last year, Devontae Adams again, like, or Garrett Wilson at least, right? Not throwing it to MVS and Scotty Miller. So to a degree, I think there's a few things you can place the blame on. Sure, you can place the blame on Rodgers a lot. He has to let the concept breathe. Arthur Smith drew up a few really nice man-beating concepts, and Rodgers ignored it. Instead, threw the low percentage fade route. Especially on that fourth and one. I mean, Adam Thielen's wide open.
Wide open. That was a good route.
Pick play. Right. He's wide open. So you got to let that breathe and throw to Thielen, not throw to Scotty Miller. MVS on the final play, I understand the process behind just going to MVS on that play. It doesn't look like Gainwell's going to be open pre-snap. He is. So I understand that one. The other two, though, I mean, are just miscommunications. There's no concept. He just turns and throws it to MVS. And I just think just banging your head into the wall, essentially, without actually letting a concept run out. I mean, on the second play of that, Thielen's open. Thielen kind of runs a little stick and nod, gets open. If Rodgers can put it to the back of the end zone, that's a touchdown. I just think you think about that. You don't even get Freiermuth one touch in that scenario on those four plays. Like, there's just a lot there that doesn't make much sense. And so Aaron's to blame a lot. I also think, to a degree, at some point Arthur Smith has to be like, hey, I know what my quarterback's doing right now. I know the mode he's in. Time to put my best playmaker in the spot where Aaron's going to throw the ball. And I tweeted this yesterday. If Aaron's going to target the fade route that much in those situations, it's time to put Pat Freiermuth there, because he's your best pass catcher right now. He's your best contested catch weapon right now. That's what you got to do at this point. So you got to understand your quarterback's tendencies to a degree as a play caller and start to put the personnel where it needs to go. And so I blame Arthur Smith a little bit, but yeah, mostly that's an Aaron Rodgers decision.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Austin R. Bechtold. You can follow Nick on Twitter at FairballFB. Why is Pat Freiermuth? This has been the age-old question all season long, Nick, and we just have not been able to find an answer to it. Tomlin will just say, oh, his time will come. Why is it that Pat Freiermuth cannot consistently be targeted? Because we saw it when he was in the fourth quarter. Good things can happen, and they don't go to him at all. He wasn't even on the field, I think, half the plays in that four-game sequence, that four-play sequence in the very end of the game.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. Every time this guy's targeting, he makes plays. I don't know if it's, you know, Aaron Rodgers maybe doesn't like throwing to Pat Freiermuth as much as he likes Jonnu Smith. I don't know if it's, you know, Jonnu Smith is Arthur Smith's kind of boy. There's a lot of different ways to look at that. It's probably a little bit of both to a degree. But we're talking about, I think the Steelers have so much tight end room diversity that they have kind of typecasted every single player into very specific roles. I mean, when you look at Darnell Washington, he's kind of just become a big hulking run blocker that catches it either in the flat or sometimes over the middle of the field. Jonnu Smith is like the manufactured touch screening jet sweep guy. And then Freiermuth has kind of been typecasted as only this zone beater and really nothing else. And I just think that's doing him a disservice. Every time this guy, as you mentioned, gets on the field, he makes a big play.
Right.
He's great up the seams. He can win in man-to-man coverage on choice routes, which is, you know, it's just the type of stuff that they need. They need easy button stuff. And so I don't know, man. I can't answer that, because you look at who they have at their disposal right now, without Metcalf, without Washington, without Austin. I mean, he's so easily their best player as a weapon, as a pass catcher. It just doesn't make any sense. And you know, we talk about Freiermuth, but even in this last game against Cleveland, I mean, they totally minimized Kenny Gainwell. He had been someone that had got manufactured touches for weeks, and I felt like they were lacking that. It's just this team doesn't do a good job of accentuating its playmakers and its players in ways that they should. And I think Freiermuth falls into that bucket more so than anyone.
So I would imagine that Darnell Washington is now out for the season with a broken arm. I would think, right? I mean, yes. there's no way he's coming back. What about,
unless they make some improbable run, right?
What about TJ Watt? Do you think he will practice this week? Do you think there's a chance that he plays?
I do think he'll practice this week. I think he will continue to practice. I think this is pretty up in the air. It's going to be how he looks. It's going to be how he kind of responds to things. I think he needs at least two full participations this week for them to get him on the football field. I think that's something he's going to need. He's going to need to pass some certain thresholds. He's going to need to show them he has really good football conditioning, and he's going to have to show he's fully healthy. I think those the level of return from a thing like a collapsed lung is just higher than, say, I don't know, a strained calf. It's just different, right? It's not as much an injury as it is a health issue. And so the Steelers are going to make sure he's 100% out there multiple times this week, I think, if he can play. My feel on it right now, I think it's very much 50-50, and they don't even know necessarily if they're going to have TJ Watt. I think certainly when this happened, when this had happened, I heard 3 weeks was the earliest. Hey, we're at 3.5. So at Sunday, we will be at 3.5 weeks. This is probably the first possible time he will be able to play. So I think it's certainly possible they can have him. But at this point in the week, I think they don't even know. So it's going to be all up to TJ Watt, how he responds to maybe a full practice. And if they get the green light there, I still don't even think he's going to be a full go. I think he'll get 20, 25, maybe 30 snaps, and you'll still see a lot of Nick Herbig.
What about Isaac Seumalo? How much do you think that they missed him in the game against Cleveland? Do you expect him to play against Baltimore?
Yeah, I think he'll be back. You know, he put together three really good practices last week, and I think he'll be upgraded this week to full participation.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
So I'm expecting Isaac Seumalo back. I don't know how much they missed him. He played really good football before getting hurt, but I also think Spencer Anderson and Andres Pete did a good job, just like Dylan Cook has on the left side. They ran the ball really well against the Browns. They should have done it more. So I don't think they missed him too much. It does limit their menu of runs a little more without Seumalo. So having him and just having that at full strength, and the Steelers are going to have a really hard time running on this Ravens team. That's like the one thing they do exceptionally well is they run the ball and they stop the run. But if they are going to try and run the ball, they need Seumalo out there.
Nick, the Steelers have lost to the following quarterbacks in Cleveland over the last 4 years. Jacoby Brissett, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Jameis Winston, and Shedeur Sanders. Who is the worst of those four?
Probably DTR. DTR was awful.
Is he in the league anymore?
No, I don't think he is. He might be with the Eagles still. I know they traded him there. But he's not good at all. I mean, Shedeur, I think, has at least shown some flashes at times.
He's not in the league right now. Maybe he's on the Eagles practice squad, but not on an active roster.
To me, that's by far the worst one. I think Shador's better than him. I think that obviously Brissett has been in the league as a backup for a decade at this point. Jameis has been, he's a first overall pick, starter plus backup for over a decade. Yeah, losing to DTR is still absolutely mind-boggling to me. That's the worst one.
There is some account that I see on Instagram here when I looked up Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and it's just a screen grab of my tweet, and they edited out my name in the tweet, Nick. Do you ever get annoyed when people do that?
I see that a lot. I don't really ever mind it. I don't care. I mean, listen, is it annoying? Mildly so, sure, but whatever, man. Instagram accounts always steal the stuff from Twitter. It's like a day later. Everything that comes on Twitter leaks over there, and it's always stolen. That's like a thing for TikTok too. Although TikTok has their own original brain rot stuff from time to time.
All right, Nick, before we let you go, what do you think the vibe is going to be like in the stadium? So I'm going to be there. A couple of my buddies I've texted with are going to be there as well. And we don't know what it's going to be, because I think if it's the fourth quarter and I was at the Buffalo game, the environment could be twice as bad if they're down by a score in the fourth quarter. If it's two scores, and if it's clear that they're not going to win the game, that things could get overwhelming in terms of boos, fire Tomlin chants, and it could get out of hand, not from like a unsafe perspective or anything like that, but just from fans voicing their frustration. What do you anticipate if it doesn't go well?
I mean, I anticipate the same thing we saw in Buffalo, fire Tomlin chants, booing Renegade, like all that. If they get run off the field, I think it's going to be really bad, because you shouldn't get run off the field by this Ravens team. It's really that simple. I do look at it, and I think, throughout the week, I think this is progressively going to get a little bit more hyped up. I think Steelers fans will buy into it more, and they'll be very excited come Sunday, even if there's this trepidation and everyone now has the doomerism saying they're going to lose for sure. There's no confidence. Ask Baltimore fans. They also think they're going to lose. It's kind of funny, actually, because the Buffalo game was the same way. Buffalo thought they were going to lose that game. And then you look at it, and I just think the fan base is frustrated, man. It's like the same story. Whether they go 9-8 or 10-7, I honestly think even next week, let's say they win, but they get run off the field by Buffalo, I think the same thing's going to happen next week if that happens. You know what I mean? It'd be the same thing. 10-7, get blown out in the wild card round. I think there's some dangerous stuff the next 2 weeks in that regard. So I'm fully expecting some venom if things don't go their way. And I think Mike Tomlin's going to hear it, and then he'll probably be asked about it at his end of the year press conference. And, he'll have to decide how he's going to respond to that, because it's clear that the angst from the Steelers fan base is growing to kind of this big heat over the past few years.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Thanks for having me on, brother. Appreciate it.
It's Nick Faribault, guy from Penn Live, on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He's headed down to the Mike Tomlin press conference, where the coach will speak in half an hour, and you can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan, as we will break it down as well. What does Tomlin have to say with a little bit more film study and a little bit more view of the tape of Aaron Rodgers consistently going back to MVS, or Scotty Miller, or the lack of usage for Pat Freiermuth? I'm sure that'll be brought up for the 20th time this year. Or Kenneth Gainwell. It seems like Kenneth Gainwell and Pat Freiermuth take turns in that game being Casper the Friendly Ghost. They disappeared at times. They weren't utilized in the offense. They were not, and those are two players that you should try to be scheming systems and scheming plays around to be able to best utilize their talents. Kenneth Gainwell has been the best offensive weapon on this team this year. I think that's unquestionable, and it's unquestionable when you don't have DK Metcalf and you don't have Darnell Washington. And another thing that just absolutely drove me insane was that fourth down play with Scotty Miller. It's fourth and one. You're at what, like the 20? And you decide to throw that fade. Why not run the tush push if you are so concerned because, oh, well, we don't have Darnell. We need somebody to push Connor Hayward forward. You're telling me that you can't trust like Keanu Benton or Derek Harmon to just stand there, wait for the ball to be snapped, and then push? or a backup offensive lineman? You don't have a backup guard that can do that? Or you can't, it's not that hard. Look, how many times did Mike Vrabel go from the defensive side of the ball to the offensive side of the ball and catch touchdowns for New England? How many times have we seen defensive linemen? I'm trying to think, who was the guy in Tampa Bay? Vita Vea? How many times has Vita Vea, at least when Brady was there, lined up as a fullback to clear the way for Leonard Fournette or whoever was rushing for Tampa Bay? And I get it, maybe a little bit, well, it's on the fly. We don't know. Practice that in case Darnell Washington does get hurt, that you already have somebody in a backup role there to where, oh, well, it's fourth and one. We don't have Darnell. We don't know if we're going to run it as effectively. Have something already in place to push Connor Hayward. And to me, that means, oh, well, we think Darnell is the real reason why we succeed on the tush push, not Connor Hayward, and just moving forward and trusting our offensive line. That's what it meant to me. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You could also listen to the Pop and Joe Show on demand on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. Up next, what is Mike Tomlin going to say before this matchup against the Baltimore Ravens? Plus, let's go inside the locker room. What did Steelers players have to say about the loss to the Cleveland Browns? And what are some of the things that are stacking up against the Steelers? Some of the numbers and facts that matter from the Cleveland game that we can take into Baltimore, where I think you'd be surprised by what the point spread is right now. At least I definitely was. Logan has a headline. We're back in a moment. Austin Bechtold in for Pomp and Joe. It is the Pomp and Joe Show on a Tomlin Tuesday.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.